Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel. And today we're going to be looking at Streets of Rage 4 and other games.
War.
I really thought it was going to be Streets of Rage 4, a subtitle.
No. The subtitle is the number, but more importantly than the number 4, and this is important, this, yeah. I believe, for the first time ever in Thumbcram's history, this is a world exclusive.
Wow.
This is the first ever Xbox One game being reviewed in this show.
Holy crap.
You can say shit. It's fine. I'm the editor of this one. Holy shit. We've done it.
Holy shit. Xbox One making an appearance, debuting on Thumb Cramps.
Wow. You can see this. Our listeners can't because it's an audio medium, but I am holding an Xbox controller above my head like it's Simba. I'm that ape.
We have talked about buying an Xbox. That's all we've talked about with an Xbox.
Man, so it would have been hilarious if we never reviewed an Xbox game, but the people listening were like, oh, I guess it sucked. Like, I guess there's nothing
Jackson,
worth reviewing on it. Yeah.
We spoke about buying an Xbox. Wasn't me that spoke about it, though, but it is me reviewing Streets of Rage 4.
I'm so excited.
This is a huge step. Now I understand, like, this is our one small step for Thumb Cramps, one giant leap for gaming. Mm-hmm. I get it now. I understand Neil Armstrong. So yeah, the first Xbox game I've played has been an indie game that's released on all platforms.
Okay. All right.
Streets of Rage 4 is a side-scroller beat-em-up, which is a style of game that I always think that I adore, but sometimes I'm so bad at them that I stop playing within like 15 minutes.
Great.
Streets of Rage 4 is not that. I am well and truly in this, and I'm addicted, and I really, really, really like it. In fact, I would say I love it.
Whoa.
I've gone back and played it like 6 or 7 times. That's like 5 or 6 more times than I've played most games.
Yeah.
So is it like an old school kind of like, because my kind of point of reference for all these sort of like side scrollers is sort of, I guess, Maximum Carnage or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games from the SNES.
See, imagine if they were cooler because they weren't about comics. They were about tough guys.
Dude, can I just say I love tough guys.
Yeah. Imagine if comics, like, comics, the nerdy, soft boys
and tights, you know. I get it.
People with weak fingers and fragile faces.
Glasses, eyesight's always bad. Squinting a lot.
Yeah, the ones that are always upside down in the toilet because I'm holding them by their legs.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know those ones?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm poor because Dusha keeps taking my lunch money and I'm feeble.
Getting thinner because he keeps eating my food.
I'm not even eating
Soon
it.
Soon I will
die.
I know nerds, dude.
Yes. You know them. Comics.
Yeah.
Basically, Streets of Rage is like that, yeah. It's, It started as, I believe, a Sega game, like a Sega Mega Drive game.
Yeah.
I think that's what the first one was on. And yeah, this is like one of those like very belated sequels to like reboot a beloved franchise. I'm not confident enough and have not done enough research to know if Streets of Rage 3 was already that. Like, I have a feeling that they may have brought it back for like PS1 or something like that, and then they've brought it back again. So if that is the case, and you know that, and you're annoyed that I don't know that, look, we're all learning something today. I could look it up, but I'm recording a podcast. Leave me alone.
It would seem wrong to do so, I guess.
So it's got a lot of the staples of the side-scrolling beat-em-ups. Like, there's a few different playable characters. Mm-hmm. They all have different movesets. It's a very simple controls. There is a jump button, a punch slash bash button, mm-hmm. and then there's a special move button. The mechanic that's really interesting to Streets of Rage, and is very similar to Final Fight, which is another tough guy version of those lame nerd games Zammit was talking about.
Yeah.
Is that the special attacks, rather than like charging, they don't like charge up or anything like that, they take some of your health.
Oh.
So, yeah, you got to use them in situations where you would be dealt more damage than you're about to lose for using it.
That's cool. Okay.
Which
I like that.
Is baffling when you first play the games, but luckily, because I'd played Final Fight on the Super Nintendo, mm-hmm. I was like, all right, cool, that button, never touching it.
Okay, I just quickly Googled a bit of Streets of Rage, and then I went to images and just went to the first one, which was the original Streets of Rage, I guess, cover art for the Sega.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, if we could all just bring that up, because it's quite frankly beautiful if you can.
Okay.
So we have a man who okay. has, I want to say, is that a purple headband, yellow tank top, jeans, yes. and sneakers, kicking but also doing the action of punching a street thug who is holding an Uzi. In the background, you have a woman dressed all in white, doing a sweet fly kick, but also punching as well. A man in a hockey mask with a giant arm. All this is happening in front
yeah,
of a cop car.
Huge.
And there is, if you just kind of have a bit of a squeeze in the bottom right-hand corner there, there's just some sort of ghoul man.
Who's the ooze?
coming out of the of a sewer.
Wow.
Does this, and also it's all, okay, there's a building on fire on the right-hand side I just did not see.
There's a person with a gun in the left-hand side just firing out of the window indiscriminately. There's a guy in the background sitting down rubbing the side of his head like he just heard something real loud.
Yeah, so does this...
Probably that gunshot.
Yeah. Does this image, there's just an empty bottle of wine on the does this...
Yeah, does
image.
This encapsulate?
Does it encapsulate Streets of Rage 4? Is Streets of Rage 4 kind of like paying homage or maybe a love letter to the cover art of Streets of Rage? That's the question I would love to know.
Yeah,
so
that's
obviously
very fair.
Everything you've just listed is total nonsense. And total nonsense that all appears in Streets of Rage 4. Yeah!
Yes! That's what we want to hear.
Yeah, so things like wine bottles, that's just an item you can find and throw at people. Things are often on fire. Lots of ghoul guys that you're bashing. You're all the toughest people in the world. There's a lot of playable characters that you like slowly unlock throughout the game. I've only unlocked one, and now that I looked at a list of the characters, I worry that whilst I was confident I was about halfway through the game, maybe I'm only like a quarter of the way through the game.
Maybe it was the first level. Oh no.
Man,
yeah, I'm at world two.
The cover art for Streets of Rage 2 is also truly phenomenal. It's somehow gotten better. There's a character being broken like Batman over the knee of Bane at the same time as getting his legs kicked by a woman in some Daisy Dukes, whilst a guy in rollerblades a guy in the face.
It's a lovely... I just love the items strewn across the floor or the pavement. You have a 2x4 with nails and a knife.
Oh my god, incredible.
It's just a very wild, wild game. Every character, so there's a special move, so the punch button is just like a preset combo. Doesn't matter what happens, like, you'll do the same actions. But then there's like a dash attack and special attacks, and the special attacks, like a jump version is different from one on the ground, etc., etc. Yeah. Every playable character feels different, even though it is the same buttons. And yeah, it's just chaos. Like it's one of those nonsense stories where the story doesn't really matter, but it's told to you in like kind of like comic book cutscenes in between. But it's all tough guys, so it's not just maximum carnage.
Yeah. Good.
Don't worry.
This was made in a time when Venom stopped eating people and started eating chocolate, which is the worst thing that comic books have ever done. Hey, what if this tough guy is actually a big wimp nerd?
Yeah. What if it's about wusses now? Wusses yeah. in the Marvel yeah. universe. Hey, yeah, can I just say, like, yeah. look, no shade thrown towards Streets of Rage 4, but going by the cover arts of all of the preceding Streets of Rage, it has by far the least tough guy cover art. Streets of Rage 3 features a yeah. kangaroo with boxing gloves, an old man with an electric metal fist, and I'm assuming the main... look, he's been in all of the other cover arts, a guy in a white t-shirt and blue jeans, but now yeah, his fist is on fire. So, like... Look, I'm yeah. cover art, yeah, I'm giving one thumb as opposed to the five thumbers that every other cover art receives.
Yeah, I'll even say, look, Streets of Rage 3 cover art isn't as good as, say, Streets of Rage, no. the original, or the second, even though it does feature a boxing kangaroo, which is great. But all the character art just looks very wrong. Like, the proportions are there, but this posture is not. And, like, while I do love the expression of the old man with the giant rock electric fist, because
yeah.
he's making, like, a... face.
Yeah, and yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a big fan of that. But it just seems that it is... That is his arm is about as big as his leg.
Yeah. yeah.
Bigger.
Big punches. Normal kicks.
No, look, you're right.
Why is every character on the Streets of Rage 3... like a Tekken character? Like a character from another fighting game? That's weird.
That is a great
right?
question.
Yeah, Streets of Rage 3 cover art, each character has been drawn individually, as in not as part of a composition. If you yeah. kind of look at that, they've just kind of like drawn them as sick kind of character arts and then just slapped them together.
Is it good to imagine the title screen of like when Streets of Rage 3, when you've chucked that in your Genesis or whatever and you turn it on and then it comes up it comes up with one of the characters and then as it flashes, different characters appear and then it flashes Streets of Rage 3 in flames?
Yeah,
I've never
yeah,
played
yeah,
that
yeah,
game,
yeah, yeah.
but I guarantee you that's what
Absolutely.
The title screen looks like.
Oh, yeah, look. Yes. Yes.
So yeah, Streets of Rage 4 also has a guy that's a cybernetic enhancement of a previous guy. Don't know why, but he's got two metal arms now, and his special move is that he grabs two guys and smashes their heads together. So that's obviously the best.
That is okay. great.
Like Jax a girl from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
except two metal arms, not one.
He has two metal arms.
You're right. I did say that and then instantly regret it because I think I was wrong. Jax also has a gun, doesn't he?
Probably.
This guy doesn't have a gun.
Mortal Kombat's whack.
Yeah. Robocop's in Mortal Kombat now.
Yeah.
He has a gun, famously.
Times
has
a gun. Changing.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's like basically every level is just you start on the left, you got to go to the right.
Great.
There's fellas and barrels and. Weapons like lead pipes and tasers and stuff like that you can pick up. There's food that heals your health. In the menu, you get to pick what skin the food is.
Ah,
so you can, the default is like burger, I think, is small meal, and full turkey dinner is large meal.
That's great.
Do you have that like on your person, or is it like you pick it up on the street?
You smash a barrel and it's on the street, and you're like,
yeah,
mm,
barrel
turkey.
I love
some barrel turkey.
Yeah.
The first level is like set on a street and you're fighting street gangs. The second level inexplicably takes place in a police station where you're just bashing cops. And the moment I got to that, I was like, no, this is a game for me. Yeah, yeah.
Are the cops corrupt or not? Does it matter?
Think so.
Maybe he just takes the position that ACAB, all cops are pigs. Maybe yeah. that's...
ACAB, all cops are pigs.
All cops are big. Bastards.
Well, there's some pretty big cops in this. Yeah, because similar to, like, pretty much any side-scrolling beat-em-up. So, yeah, basically, look, this doesn't reinvent the wheel, but it... God damn, is it a good wheel. They've made... the perfect version of the wheel, I think.
Wow, that's a claim.
Yeah, I can't think of a beat-em-up that I've had more fun with. But it's also a genre where I haven't played that much, and I also am well aware that Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl has come out, and that's a side-scroller beat-em-up, so I should reserve my judgment until I
Absolutely.
Properly play that.
Yeah, looking forward to you comparing and contrasting those two particular games. And, of course, is it multiplayer? I would assume
it absolutely is. I was playing online. So not only is it local multiplayer, it's also online multiplayer. I was playing a little bit with former Thumb Cramps guest, Mia.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes.
We had a good time, but then it dropped out because presumably either Australian internet sucks or her internet sucks. But we had a good time when we were together.
That's good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, there's a boss character at the end of every level. They're a little tough. Some of them I've struggled with, others I haven't. The last level I beat was on a boat. Boss was the captain. I beat her up. Then she crashed her boat into a street, and then the next level is a street again, and I can't beat it because there's too many tough guys that are tougher than me.
Aww. So how many sucks, thumbs? Man.
I think it's a solid four-thumb game. It's available on the Xbox Game Pass, but it is also available on the PS4, the Switch, probably the PC. I've honestly never paid attention to what games are available on the PC. Everyone who says PC, who said PC Master Race sometime in the mid-2000s must still have no friends. Because it didn't do wonders for them then, and now people don't even talk about it, so... At least, like, their movement was loud at one point. Loud and annoying, but...
yeah.
I had a PC, and I still found it. Shut up. Who cares?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Who cares, indeed?
Switch Speaking Master of- Race. That's what it's about.
Damn right.
Yeah, so four thumbs, and before I listen to whatever nonsense you're going to tell me, and I zone out and think about tough guys bashing other tough guys, here's a word from our sponsors.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
As always, well done, sponsors. Great job. Thank you so much for appearing on this podcast.
Incredible. Incredible ads.
Truly every episode of Thumb Cramps is a guest episode because we've got ads.
Absolutely. Yeah. You say what you might. You can be like, look, Thumb Cramps, it's the podcast equivalent of a dog's shit, but the ads. Ooh. I listen for the ads. That's tasty. What our top reviewer says.
Very tasty.
Love that jingle.
Yeah.
So, Zaman, what have you been playing?
Sorry,
you missed a couple of weeks, and now it looks like you're looking out the window. Are you yelling at your backyard?
So there's renovations going on. They're building houses next door.
Sure. Mm.
So, like, they demolished a block. Yeah, and
demolition usually doesn't result in renovations, but that's okay.
So now they're building on what was a block that had two houses, they're now building six.
Yeah,
right.
So
that's house
when
math.
They were doing that, they dug out like under my backyard, as it were, and so all the stumps and all that kind of jazz for the fence fell forward that, like, the fence was falling into my backyard.
Mm.
So I called up, you know, my real estate agent was like, can we do something about that?
And so they said no.
They said, sure. 4 months later, I want to say, they sent a bugger lug around, and he propped it up with some 2x4s.
Great.
Yeah. And that was great. And now if I look out the window, because I saw a hand, like someone's hand, and it kind of spooked me for a bit. And so I opened up the window, and the fence has fallen the other way.
Rock and roll.
Onto the freshly built houses. And there is a gaping hole that I can just wander into.
Oh, that's
great.
So
I'm going to do some exploring tonight, fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited. Hey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but squatter's rights? You can sneak into one of those houses. That's yours.
It's yours. You deserve
it. If they're still being built, then no one's living there.
Exactly.
That's
there's
just
no roofs,
real estate.
But, you know, it's not raining that heavily. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It only rains probably once every 2 or 3 days at the moment.
It'll stop raining eventually. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So that person's hand aside, which spooked me, three thumbs.
So I played. I picked up a game called Rombo. First
Rombo. Rombo.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but it's a combination of, I guess, Rambo and Roomba.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very Roombo. Roombo.
Oh, no, it would be Roombo. Because it's Rambo and
Roombo. First
Blood. that would be Ramboomba. Rambo.
Ramboomba.
Definitely makes you think.
Yeah.
How is it spelled?
R O like Roomba, but with an O. Roombo.
Oh. Yeah, Roombo.
Roombo.
Yeah. Or so Rambo. Roombo, if you want to go Blood. The other one. I'm gonna make Rambo. Same concept.
So the premise is very, very simple. You take control of a Roomba.
Great.
While your owner's family has left for the night, and oh no, there are some people breaking into your house, and then you have to first off kill them, and
great.
Then clean up after them. And you do
hell
this
yeah.
by setting off traps. So as you're like, you know, controlling your Roomba around, you can kind of go into like, I guess. So it's a bit of a stealth. It sold itself as being a bit of a stealth game, but
yeah,
really there
it's
wasn't
not
that much
by the
stealth.
Sounds of things.
Mm. Yeah,
it's called Roombo First Blood.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I said.
I didn't get the. I was too busy saying Roomba over and over again to miss
Look,
the. I missed the first blood bit.
Yeah. You do a control where everything kind of slows down a bit, and you can't move left or right, but you can control any electronics, so you can hack into it, as all
Roombas can have. Yeah, of course.
Which, look, it was an interesting kind of way, because that way you can set up traps, because as you're, say, getting chased by some villains, as it were. Mm. It's also set around Christmas time, so I'm guessing they were trying to go for like
a Home Alone
vibe. Mm. So when you're doing that, you can be like, aha, I'm going to like zap the ceiling fan. That's going to just fall on the burglar and hit them for a bit.
Is it gory? Then,
it's very gory. Yeah.
Good.
So, when you do kill, the burglars, they burst into bits of meat, or you Good. Can, once they're unconscious, you can ram them with your Roomba. And as you clean them up, you then explode them a bit into chunks of meat.
Mm. Great.
It's a very simple game. It's really not that hard. There is six levels. Mm-hmm.
In the description, it says
bonus levels.
Yeah. In the description, it says it's a short experimental game.
Oh,
I imagine you're going to agree very strongly with one of the words in that sentence.
Oh, no, both. It's not terrible, like the six levels, it's mostly the same. It would have been nice to have a little bit more complexity. I really, really like the idea that you are just this little Roomba trying to stop burglars and then cleaning up. But the problem is, once you do stop, like, you know, you stop everyone from like stealing some valuables, you're then given about, I want to say, it's less than a minute of cleanup time, which then as you're cleaning it up, it's like, you know, how much percentage of the house have you cleaned? And you can't really get above 30%, 40%, because there is a lot of blood.
Yeah.
And also footprints that you have to sort of.
It seems weird. It seems like the game is then being like, kill people in the least bloody way you can so that your cleanup time is easier. But why would you ever want to do that? That's not at all, like, it seems like not what the game's geared towards. That seems weird.
Yeah, because I like the premise of, all right, the house is being broken into and stuff is being stolen. You have to then stop it and make it look like nothing happened. That's a kind of cool idea, but they kind of really shit the bed in that second half of that sentence.
Yeah, that's a shame.
There's no real cleaning up. There's like nothing of that. So the way you take down the villains, as I said, you kind of set these like booby traps, or you can kind of like hoover up
boobies.
Some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hoover up some stuff. Stab people with it, or throw those, shoot those items you picked up. So you can like pick up a, say like an ottoman or whatever, and then just like hurl it at someone, which is all right.
Yeah,
there is some like knives lying around. Well, yeah, yeah. But that is nowhere near as satisfying. It's a bit clunky, those controls, as opposed to just sort of setting off traps left, right, and center. hacking into a fire. Don't know how the Roomba did that, but it did.
Burning people,
which is nice. Yeah. So it's a combination of, like, I guess it's a techno wizard from what I can read into Roomba's
way of life. No, that makes sense. That checks out.
Yeah. The three bonus levels are, like, one is, like, little burglars, so they're tiny and wee. One is that they're invisible, so you can only really know where everyone is through footsteps.
Cool.
And the other one is just called big knives, and there are big knives everywhere. And that was a lot of fun. But again, you can kind of finish this game in about 30 minutes, if that. And it cost maybe, I want to say, like $2.50, and that was it on sale.
Mm.
So if you just have like a couple of bucks in your spare pocket and you want to grab something to kill, 30 minutes, it's a fine game to do such a thing. If you're wanting something with a bit more depth and a bit more gameplay, this is not the game for you.
Yeah,
this is a very simple game. I was a little disappointed because I really, really liked the idea of, yes, you're stopping people coming in and you have to clean up, but they really did not put any time at all in the cleanup phase.
It sounds like it would be because it sounds like that there's like an element of, what am I trying to say? Like, it would be cool if when it got to the cleanup section, it was like, oh no, the family's coming home. And so you had to set off different traps that would impede them but not kill them. Whilst you cleaned up, or something like that.
Or something like that, or each level has a timer, and so it's like time until the family get back.
Oh, yeah, so it's like, you got to kill them as quickly as possible so that you got more cleanup time. But that sounds fun.
There are some like cutesy moments, like if you, as you're roomering around, you can quickly like hide under a bed or a couch.
No.
And the burglar's like, where'd it go? They'd also try and stomp you, which is hilarious.
Like real life.
Like in real life.
That's the way I treat your Roomba. Yeah, come here, likewise. I'll kill you.
Stomp, stomp. All in all, it's not a terrible game, especially for like a price point of like a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I'm still probably only going to give it about 3 thumbs.
Just that's because, pretty good.
Hey, it is short, it is experimental, but... they could have expanded it a bit more. Like, given what it already has available, they could have really done a lot more with it.
Just change the 1 minute to 2 minutes.
That would have been better.
Yeah,
because there's so many times where I'm just like, there is so much blood and I am Roomba going slow. So I don't know how I'm going to be doing this. The villains, the burglars, were very easy to kill. A lot of the times I did so by slamming a door onto them and the door would break and so would they. And that was all right.
That's something that I think we can all take into real life.
Yeah.
Also, you played this on the Nintendo Switch, right?
Yeah, the Nintendo Switch.
And as currently, at the time of recording, it is on sale for $6 Australian.
Ah.
Whoa.
Full price, $7.50.
$1.50 off.
Yeah, cheap game, 20% off. So if you're listening to this, act quick.
Yeah, I picked it up for like, I think it was 50% off. So $6, maybe don't act that quick. Wait a bit more. $6 seems a bit too much.
Yeah,
I think.
Act slow.
Get him slow.
Yeah. Look, for $2.50, I would give this 3 thumbs. For $7, a thumb?
Maybe
a thumb and a... No, a thumb.
Okay, no, that's good, because this is, again, another special throwback to last year, which is Joel Zammert's bargain bin of gaming.
Yeah.
And you know value for money. If it's $2 and you play for 40 minutes, you're like, this is a masterpiece.
That math checks.
Yeah. But for $7, I mean...
So quick reassessment. Price you paid 3 thumbs. Full price, 1 thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Just checking. That's 100%. Good. That's we want to inform our consumers.
Yeah absolutely. Yeah. That's weak.
This game is not worth more than $2.50. I'm sorry.
The altruistic goal of Thumb Cramps the podcast is to inform you, the consumer. These opinions are the right opinions.
Yeah.
That's the lesson. We, if anyone, know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're in the pocket of big video gaming, and we want to push as many items onto you, the consumer, as
absolutely.
We can.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, so buy big, and we see
buy
none
big,
of it,
and also
but they'll
buy
trust
small.
Us.
Yeah,
buy
yeah,
small.
Yeah.
Buy really, big.
I mean, then again, I guess what you have to think about is 30 minutes of your time worth $7?
Yeah, great question. Well, I've been playing a game.
No one asked, Jackson.
Yeah. So what have you been playing, Jack?
That's better, Jackson. Wait your turn.
Okay. It's great to begin hostile. That's what I like.
Get to it.
I've been playing a game called A Short Hike for the PC, and I think it's only available on the PC. It's like
short
a cute
hike.
PC Master Race over here.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Sorry, Your Majesty.
It's the kind of game that would be great on the Switch. Like, it's built for the Switch. It's like a cute indie game where you play a little crow lady who's going camping with her family. You're like, oh, I want to call someone.
What do you mean by crow lady?
I mean, like, you're like an anthropomorphic crow in a sun hat.
Okay, I thought you meant like some kind of
like
old
a
crone.
Yeah, just you're like an old woman
old crone
on a road
covered in feathers of killed crows that you've had to eat for
like
sustenance.
A crazy cat lady, but
for
crows.
Yeah. Imagine,
Jackson. Okay. This game does not sound cute. Oh, it's adorable.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. What about this? I don't understand. But yeah, you're going camping with your family, and you're like, oh, I need to get phone reception.
Are your family also crows?
Yeah, everyone's crows or dogs or bears or whatever.
Animal Kingdom. So this could be set in Zootopia universe.
It could be set within the Zootopia universe, although some of the animals are naked, so... I mean, like, it still could, but...
Like, naked as in, like, dongs out naked? Or
no,
naked
as
in
like,
just
some of them have
clothes.
Pants on, and then those that don't have pants on, by virtue of the clothed animals, it means they're naked.
We saw that in Zootopia. There was a nudist.
So I guess it could be in Zootopia.
Could also be Winnie the Pooh.
Hmm. Yeah. It suits neither, really, perfectly well.
Well, come on, get to it then. Explain it to us so we can decide which universe it's in.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. So,
no time
yeah,
like the present, Jackson.
You need to get phone reception, and so your mum is like, the only place to get phone reception is the top of the mountain. Climb the mountain, get to the top.
That leans more into Zootopia. There's no phones in Winnie the Pooh.
That's true. It's set in the modern age. Good point. Mm.
A sequel to Winnie the Pooh.
Absolutely.
Could be a sequel to Winnie the Pooh.
Well, except for the fact that Winnie the Pooh and Pals were sort of like the creation of Christopher Robin's mind and all soft toys in reality.
Well,
in his
later years, he Christopher Robin's like a crow obsession.
Yeah, absolutely. And buy some more soft toys and imagine them climbing a mountain.
Could be.
No one's saying no. So, like, the vast majority of the game, it's, like, very pixelated. It's like, kind of, like, 3D
Were you wearing your glasses?
No, it was just blurry for me. It's actually not. I'm playing Streets of Rage. What am I seeing?
Is that a crow? Is this a mountain? Why is everyone yelling, ooh?
What's happening? Climbing a mountain out of Streets of Rage is so hard to fathom. Am I going
Your monitor
up?
Was on a... Yeah, your monitor was on the side.
We're just walking straight up the side of this mountain, this crow person that I am. Well, look, it's a great game. And what makes it really good is that it's so densely packed. So, like, the map, as it were, is just this one gigantic mountain in the middle of the sort of the area and then woods surrounding it. And there's just, like, so much to see and do that every time I jump in and I start wandering around the mountain, I'm just finding new shit to see, new people to talk to, new items to gather, which don't really do much but just add, like, I don't know, kind of cute ways to act within the environment. Like, oh, I found a bucket. And I'm like, oh, I can go to a stream. And if I go to a stream, I can collect some water. And I can put it on these flowers. And the flowers become, like, I don't know, bouncy pads to get me up higher in the mountain. Also scattered around the mountain in various areas. And for, like, completing various little tasks for the other animals at the campgrounds, you get golden feathers, which allow you to climb. They act as, like, I guess, a stamina sort of thing. But I don't think they're actually necessary to complete the game. I think they're just like, hey, do you want to sort of traverse the mountain in different ways? Go ahead. Some of the, like, little, I guess, mini games that you can do are unimaginably frustrating and... I think this kind of it feels like it came out of like a game jam and was made within like
I can imagine.
Yeah. The controls can also be kind of annoying. It's like this weird 3D pixel kind of style that makes, for me anyway, I don't know, maybe I'm just dumb, but it makes like figuring out what plane I'm on, really hard to tell, and figuring out if moving in one direction is going to make me slip off the mountain or if it's just going to, like, it's hard to tell the borders of things, and
yeah,
that kind of makes it difficult to play. One of the mini games that you find really early on is there's these kids playing with a beach ball, and they're like, hey, play volleyball with me, and you're like, okay. And then you go down and you can pick up a stick and you can whack the ball, but guaranteed you'll immediately whack it into the water. And then you'll have to swim to the ball and try to whack it back onto the shore. And I did that for maybe 20 to 30 minutes and the ball would roll up onto the shore and then just roll back into the sea until I was like, screw you kids. I'm not playing. Whatever I'm going to get out of this isn't worth it for me. I'm going. But in Explore.
Play yeah. volleyball with a stick.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think they call it stick ball. Look, I don't know.
That makes sense, because you play stickball with a stick.
Yeah, but you need a stick.
But it's got, like, there's a net in the middle, because stickball is like baseball, yeah?
Stickball seems to be like a made-up game you could play with any kind
of
stick and
ball. Oh, because stickball's also like a game. Are you talking about like an imaginary game you just came up with called stickball? Because stickball is a game like baseball, I thought. Yeah, it's a street game related to baseball.
League?
Gotcha.
It's basically street baseball.
Yeah, but this is nothing like that. This
when
is volleyball with a stick.
You can't afford a field.
Okay. In like every time I jump in, I find something new, and it's not like every environment you come across you can like do anything with, but it's just the exploration element of the game is super fun. Like you have like a climb. You can also jump. You can glide because I guess you're a crow, and so sometimes you'll get really high and just
you
glide.
You guess
and,
you're a crow, or guess, you are a crow.
Well, you're a crow person. You know.
Yeah.
So,
good.
But you can't fly. I guess this
you
is
can
where
glide.
It comes down to you can glide because you're a you're a crow person. So
absolutely. It makes sense.
Glide.
Yeah.
Similar to Batman.
Yeah.
He's a Batman. He's not a bat. Bats fly. Batman glides.
Absolutely. So you're a crow girl, not a crow.
Yeah.
For sure. We figured it out, gang. Good. Go us.
Yep.
But so like in exploring, I found like an old power plant just kind of on the side of the mountain. I found a graveyard, an old church, lots of abandoned campgrounds. The music as well is gorgeous, and the music sort of changes depending on what height you are on the mountain and what particular environment you are, and it's got like a really nice like transition, like you just don't tell. It's not like a sudden change, just and so kind of like part of the fun of the game is just exploring and listening to the music and seeing what you come across. I know there's a whole bunch of items I haven't found as well, so like there's a crow I found on the side of the mountain that was like, hey, have a race with me, and I was like, okay, and then the crow was like, you need running shoes, we can race anyway, you'll just lose. And then I was like, I'll race anyway. And I just lost. Like, I should have listened. So, like, I don't know how to find them or where they are. So there's presumably a whole bunch more secrets sort of to find and discover in the mountain. It's, like, quite relaxing. Like, it's not a taxing game. It's not going to, like, take much of your brain power or whatever. But, like, if you just want to chill, it's good. I'm enjoying it a lot. It's the kind of game that, like, and look, I loathe to say this, but I would listen to just the soundtrack. Like, I don't like the idea of listening to a game soundtrack. That's upsetting. But in this one, I would.
As someone who's listened to several game soundtrack, I get it. Like, this is a sneaky, shameful thing that I'm doing in the shower.
Yeah. The only two game soundtracks I listen to, not even like on a regular basis, but just that I have, is
please
a short
Halo,
hike.
Please say Halo, please say Halo. Damn.
This game and Zelda Spirit Tracks Overworld theme, because that music's great. So
that's just one song. That's
well,
just
yeah,
a
it's
song.
The only good one.
That's not a soundtrack.
It's from a video game, is my point.
The only soundtrack I listen to from a video game is like Transistor. It's just such a really good soundtrack.
Yeah. Look, sometimes video game music is good, and we've just got to accept that. You know,
I only listen to heavy metal.
But yeah, a short hike. It's great. I think you'd really enjoy it, Zamet. I mean, other than maybe being frustrated by the controls, it's got that kind of like cutesy, weird, emotional denseness that I think you'd like. Sure, I think you'd hate it, but I think we knew that.
See, I don't know. There's some games that I really, really like. See, I think you've put me in a box here.
Okay.
I think I would hate it too, but I feel like that there's games that you play you'll chew my head. But I'd like.
I don't know if I have put you in a box then.
Have you played Gunpoint?
I think you put me in a box. You could claim that I hate this game. And you know what?
I would.
I think you're right. Yes.
What box did
however,
I put you in?
I just feel like that this is a dangerous game to be playing, because I sometimes like relaxing video games.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like Katamari Damacy, would you have expected me to love that?
That game is not relaxing.
Like Katamari Damacy, like Ape Out. You know, all these very
I love chill video games. You know, games where you've got a limited timer and you fail. You know,
and you've got those beat games that are really stressful. Yeah. Relaxing.
Yeah.
You know, Guitar Hero and Expert, relaxing.
Yeah,
anything that makes me slow down from how fast I would be acting in real life, it's nice.
Exactly. You know when you get those relaxing sweats? You know those?
Yeah.
Cool you down. Yeah.
You know like when you get held up at gunpoint and someone steals your car? Relaxing.
Yeah. Relaxing.
You're right. Excuse me for putting you in a box. That's on me. Maybe if I made you play a short hike with a gun to your head, you'd enjoy it. Get up the mountain or I pull the trigger.
You'd have to occasionally move the gun and just shoot behind my head just to make sure that, so I know that you're not joking.
And so you can't even hear the relaxing music because your ears are just going, That's how you'd enjoy a short hike. No, it's a really fun game. I'd probably give it 4 thumbs. I think it's a solid 4-thumber. Maybe, to be honest, maybe 3.5, but it only loses that half thumb because the controls are annoying and occasionally the frame rate drops ever so slightly. And that can make it frustrating when there's weirdly like precision perfect jumping you kind of have to do in some places. So, but yeah, 3.5 thumbs. And if it was a little bit tighter, definitely 4 to even 4.5. It's great. I recommend everyone get it. And
what
I think
was
it's
that?
Cheap.
Hang on. Did you say 3.5? How many episodes of the show have you done?
3 thumbs and a knuck. Excuse me. And if it was a bit tighter, 4 thumbs and then a knuck, you know, would be what it gets. Yeah.
You're welcome. I'll let guests slide with that, but you helped invent the scale. Use it properly.
So I think all up, I want to say, I assume that was about 10 thumbs to 40. I lost count.
10 to 40 to 100. Let's go down the middle. 40 thumbs. 40 thumbs. Let's split the difference. That's 40 thumbs, baby.
We've done it again. Well done. Wow. Mm. Everyone's impressed. Buy every game. That's the real message of today. It doesn't matter the thumbs. It's just important that you consume games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In these trying times where you're not really spending much money on petrol or public transport or
going out,
going out fun. Yeah. Here's something you can do. Just open up your Switch store or your PS4 store, or if you're on the Xbox, I know they have a Game Pass, but look, go to the Xbox store and search by price and what you want. Now I usually I'm usually like really pushing for sorting from cheapest to higher. Other way around.
Flip.
Let's
that.
Get the most expensive one, and I want you to buy the shit out of that.
Everybody needs to go on Steam, and they need to go to Railroad Tycoon, and then they need to go with all of the additions and spend up to $4,000 on a railway simulator game. Thumb cramps. Train game.
You need that.
Yeah,
you need
to do it.
And like you might think you won't.
You'll love it.
And maybe when you get your statement from your bank, and maybe whoever you're living with, if you are living with someone, like say a spouse or a significant other, or even say your kids had, and you have to explain this to them.
Daddy spent $3,062 on Train Simulator.
Hmm.
Well, that's just the DLC, actually. So, so that's the reason we're homeless. That's what you got to explain to your kids.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Too bad.
Yes. That's look, also just one quick tip. Money is obviously tight in these times. A lot of people aren't earning an income. Remember back in the 90s where you could afford to buy one game and if that game was bad, you still had to play it? If you buy the most expensive game and you can't afford it, the pressure for you to play it is through the roof. You will have the time of your life. You'll be committed to this video game more than you've ever been committed to anything, including your wife and children.
Yeah.
So get on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Joel.
And spend big. Buy everything.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.